Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, and I'm now joined by Juan Cole, who's a professor of modern Middle Eastern and South Asian history at the University of Michigan and president of the Global Americana Institute. He's the author of Sacred Space and Holy War, The Ayatollahs and Democracy in Iraq, Napoleon's Egypt Invading the Middle East and Engaging the Muslim World. He's also the author of the blog Informed Comment at juancole.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Juan Cole.
Thanks so much for having me on here.
And you are in Europe at the moment, but in today's New York Times, you are the subject of a front-page story about how the White House leaned on the CIA to discredit you during the Iraq War. This, of course, has some very unpleasant echoes of what Nixon tried to do with Daniel Ellsberg. I thought the Watergate dirty tricks were over, but apparently not.
Yeah, it's a little bit of revelation about how things actually are done in Washington. And what's interesting to me is that it seemed like awfully big guns were being taken out for, you know, dealing with a blog. At least Ellsberg, you know, leaked classified documents, large numbers of them from the Pentagon. But all I did was comment on the day's news.
Well, apparently, I mean, I remember speaking with you at the time of the Iraq invasion, and you pointed out to me one of the bizarre things about Doug Feith's office at the Pentagon, who were in many ways running the war, at least that was, he was running the so-called Green Zone, and that they wouldn't hire people who spoke Arabic like yourself and studied Iraq because they were therefore subversive, or they didn't think they were pro-Israel or not. So it seemed to me I remember from back then that there was an incredible kind of ideological blindness to this, to the Bush White House. Little wonder they got into such a mess in Iraq.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that was a matter of actual, you know, implementing policy on the ground, the Iraq War and invasion and trying to run Iraq in English. That was all their policy. But what's really remarkable about what Glenn Carl has revealed...
Now, Glenn Carl is the CIA officer who's gone public and spoken with James Risen of the New York Times.
That's right, who was himself ordered to dig up dirt on me and try to discredit my reputation. This is an intervention in American domestic discourse. I'm not even, you know, a professional politician. I'm just a Midwestern college professor who put up some thoughts from time to time on the web. So to have the might of the, a multi-billion-dollar government agency like the CIA trained on me is what's truly remarkable about this story, and it seems to me very unlikely that I would have been the only such target.
Well, what we know from Glenn Carl, from what he told James Risen of the New York Times, is that he was called into his office by his superior, David Lowe, in 2005, and what do you asked to, you know, what do we know about Juan Cole, and what could you find out that could discredit him? And apparently, Lowe also talked to other people in the agency. Other younger analysts were also tasked to look into you. Do you have any idea of is there a file or something? I mean, this sounds like a Freedom of Information request in the making, right?
They must have created a file on me, and you know, analysts were tasked to look into me. I don't know the details of what they did exactly, but I presume that they would have been interested to see my credit card records, for instance. I mean, if you were trying to find out if somebody had something to hide, then you'd want to look into a pattern of purchases and that sort of thing.
You mean, the Anthony Weiner factor?
Well, looking, I think Anthony did himself in.
Right. I wasn't suggesting there was any connection.
This is more like, you remember when Hillary Clinton asked that some of the UN ambassadors be put under surveillance and their credit card records be looked at and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So, I recall, though, and the New York Times article didn't mention this, but I recall that you were up for a job at Yale at about this time, and that they wanted you, but somebody behind the scenes weighed in and prevented your appointment.
Yes, the sociology and history departments voted to hire me, and then it went to the higher Yale administration and was shot down. I, of course, am not in a position really to say anything at all about that process. It was behind closed doors, and I wasn't there, and I have no way of knowing what the considerations were or who made the decision and for what reason. However, as you say, that the Bush White House was ordering the CIA to try to destroy my reputation and damage my career does at least raise questions about whether they might not have intervened in the Yale appointment. But this is purely speculative on my part.
Well, the point is, though, Juan Cole, again, I'm speaking with Juan Cole, who's a professor of modern Middle East and South Asian history at the University of Michigan. He's the subject of a front-page article in today's New York Times, which reveals from a CIA source that the Bush White House tasked the CIA to dig up dirt on Juan to discredit him back in 2005. Now, prior to that, of course, I spoke to a handful of people who actually knew about Iraq prior to the Iraq invasion. And I think one of the few people in the entire media that was suggesting at the time that the Iraq war would be a quick victory followed by a slow defeat. Brent Scowcroft and others had tried to warn the White House of the strategic stupidity of taking out Saddam Hussein and therefore making the Iranian regime much stronger. And ultimately, Iran seems to be the winner of the Iraq war. But you early on were pointing out a lot of the folly. And I guess at the time that the White House asked the CIA to dig up dirt on you, 2005, that's when the insurgency that the Bush White House refused to believe was happening was really blindsiding them, right?
Yes, 2005 was remarkable for a number of developments. The pace of violence began to pick up. The Sunni-Shiite divide was strengthened. There were two parliamentary elections, which were won by Shiite parties close to Iran, an outcome that the Bush administration was very uncomfortable with and which I think it attempted to hide from the public. And a constitution was drafted and voted on in a national referendum, which the Sunni Arab population of Iraq completely rejected, pointing to a civil war that broke out in 2006 and which was extremely bloody and from which Iraq has really never recovered. So I was simply reading the Arabic press in Iraq, talking to Iraqis, talking to people on the ground, and trying to inform the public as well as I could as to what I thought was actually going on in Iraq. And, of course, what I was saying was like night and day from what was coming out of the Pentagon and the White House. And I think that White House officials were disturbed that a competing narrative was gaining any traction with the public.
Well, I suppose the White House were successful, though, in they didn't discredit you because you were right and they were wrong. But it seems like the invitations that you were getting to speak before Washington think tanks and university forums started to dry up at about that time, right?
Yes. In the succeeding years, those invitations became rarer and rarer. And I think certainly, they set in motion whatever they could to blackball me. As you say, however, their initial goal of attempting to discredit me more generally seems to have foundered. Either wiser heads prevailed at the CIA and they backed off at some point, or they just didn't find a lot of the kind of dirt they were looking for.
Well, we know that the CIA were essentially harassed by Dick Cheney and Scooter Libby. We know that from the Valerie Plame affair. So isn't it reasonable to assume that this is a similar situation? And it's not a foregone conclusion that the CIA sort of snapped to, saluted, and obeyed. They may not have been happy with it. And apparently the reason that this CIA officer came forward, Glenn Carl, is that he at the time thought this was outrageous.
Yes, Carl objected to the task he was given and refused to to undertake it. He also went to his own superior, David Lowe's superior, in turn, and warned that this kind of thing could destroy the CIA. He was very concerned because it's a violation of the charter of the CIA. It's a violation of the post-Watergate congressional regulations on CIA activity. They're not allowed to spy on American citizens on American soil. So it was quite illegal, the request. But what's disturbing from Carl's account is that he represents some CIA officials as being perfectly willing to bow to the White House request. He ran later into evidence of further such attempts. So what's disturbing here is that there were people, I suppose they were brown-nosing, they were looking for promotions and so forth inside the CIA, who were willing to risk the health of the agency in order to make these White House officials happy.
And again, I'm speaking with Juan Cole, who's a professor of modern Middle East history, Middle Eastern history and South Asian history at the University of Michigan. He is also the subject of a front page article in today's New York Times about based on a CIA officer's report. He came forward to say that the White House back in 2005 tasked the CIA to dig up dirt on Juan Cole. And he's gone public through the James Risen of the New York Times. But do we know who in the White House was tasking the CIA to dig up dirt on you?
No, we don't know those details. This is why I think it's so important that the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, Eric Holder, the Department of Justice, launch investigations into this matter. First of all, what was done was illegal. And second of all, it's likely that I was not the only such target. So we need to subpoena the documents. We need to know who exactly was involved because these were crimes. If crimes go undiscovered, unpunished, the likelihood is that they will multiply.
And what do you know, Juan Cole, about Glenn Carl's situation vis-a-vis the CIA? As you know, CIA officers sign all kinds of documents not to tell tales out of school, and if they write a memoir, it has to go through a censorship process. And we just had the situation with the NSA officer who was a whistleblower, and the Obama White House were all but trying to put this guy away for decades, but the case fell apart. So is this CIA guy in the clear in terms of being able to testify on your behalf, for example, before a committee of inquiry of the House? The Intelligence Committees tend to meet in camera. They don't usually have open hearings. But what do you know about him? And is the CIA, since he's obviously naming some superiors, and in particular David Lowe, is he going to get nailed?
Well, certainly he's taking a risk as a former CIA operative who's now retired. He will have signed non-disclosure agreements. I think he is somewhat protected by the fact that the material he's revealing points to criminality. That is to say, he's not revealing a classified program which was legitimate. He's not revealing something that would betray legitimate sources and techniques of the CIA. That's the kind of thing one promises not to reveal. He's revealing a crime, and a crime that is so heinous that, in fact, it's being denied by the people he's naming and by the CIA spokesman. So I'm not sure anything could be done to him for revealing this crime. And indeed, I think since he's been willing to talk on the record and be identified by the New York Times as the source of this story and to name names within the agency, yes, I expect that were the Senate and House Intelligence Committees to hold hearings, that that he would be willing to testify.
Well, I asked that, Juan Cole, because in the case of the NSA officer, he didn't reveal classified information either. He revealed an enormous amount of waste of taxpayer money on a boondoggle program, and his superiors went out after him, but more importantly, the Obama White House did too. So I'm just trying to get a sense of what climate we're in now in terms of speaking truth to power.
Oh, well, I agree with you that it's a very bad time for whistleblowers, and that the Obama administration has behaved shamefully in this regard. In fact, in some ways, has sought more penalties than the Bush administration had for these kinds of revelations. But we'll have to see. Glenn Carl is obviously a brave man, and he saw something happen that disturbed him a great deal, and he's come forward.
Well, I thank you for joining us. You are, of course, the man of the moment. you survived it, but it's got to be awfully irksome to know that the most powerful person in the world or his office put a target on your back and sought to discredit you. It's frankly...
It's disturbing personally. You know, it makes one wonder about all the people one's met and what their motives were. There's a psychological toll to it. But it disturbs me most of all for the health of American democracy. Our country was premised on members of the public having the right to speak openly and freely on matters of moment to the republic. And this activity is the most pernicious kind of undermining of the basic underpinnings of our democratic system.
I thank you so much for joining us, Juan Cole.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Juan Cole, who's a professor of modern Middle Eastern and South Asian history at the University of Michigan and president of the Global Americana Institute. He is the author of Sacred Space and Holy War, The Ayatollahs and Democracy in Iraq, Napoleon's Egypt Invading the Middle East, and Engaging the Muslim World. He's also the author of the blog Informed Comment at juancole.com, and he's the subject of a front-page story in today's New York Times, where a CIA officer came forth saying that the Bush White House tasked the CIA to dig up dirt on Juan Cole. Let's now take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Anthony Weiner's resignation.